Here in Perth, we'll be able to see a partial eclipse, but up in Exmouth, it's another story. And as you've been hearing, thousands have headed there to witness this extraordinary hybrid solar eclipse. And one of them is the director of Protect Ningaloo, Paul Gamblin. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, Joe.
What's the vibe in town? I was speaking to a mate who lives up there earlier, and he said if you took away all the service personnel, it actually feels like just a normal April school holiday.
It does. It's a curious mix, although every square bit of grass or gravel seems to have a camper van or a tent or a sound stage or a market stall on it. And I think it's really building now. And I've spent a lot of time in Exmouth over the last few decades, and it's a bit different, I have to say. There's a sense of anticipation that's growing. And there are road closures and go slow zones and lots of service vehicles around, as your mate was saying. So it does feel a bit different, but we won't know until tomorrow just how different it will be.
And just describe the campground that's been set up just outside of town.
It's massive. Yeah, as you come into town on the left, it's just cheek by jowl, tents and camper vans as far as the eye can see. So that really is different. The middle of town is kind of semi-normal, semi-not. They've closed down a bunch of roads and set up stalls. And there's a great festival feel in town. All the main ovals have stages on them and stalls and food trucks, including a lot of food trucks from out of town and some local ones as well. So they're preparing for something big. How big it becomes, I guess we'll see.
If you are up there, maybe you're listening via the ABC Listen app, let me know, 0437 922 720. Linda says, Joe, my nephew's in Exmouth reporting for SciTech. He's a planetarium coordinator. Lots and lots and lots of eclipse chasers and scientists up there. Paul, where are you going to watch it?
I think I'll probably watch it from Federation Square, which is the main gathering point in the middle of town. We've done lots of concerts and things there, so it feels like the right place to be. And I'm as interested in the reaction of people, including people from around the world. I've heard people from Germany, from the US, from France, from Spain. There are lots of accents and lots of people wearing eclipse-related clothing and T-shirts from, I think, previous eclipses. I think that a lot of people follow eclipses around the world.
They do.
So that's quite interesting. Yeah.
I'm going to speak to a lady tomorrow who I think it's something like her 29th eclipse that she's seen. She went to one in South America and got stuck in a traffic jam, I think, that lasted 12 hours when she was chasing an eclipse over there. Now, I should say, Paul, you're not a scientist in this respect, but somebody has asked why, or can any other listener explain, come on, let's help out Pete, why can we only see a partial eclipse here in Perth? It's the same sky. Why do people in Exmouth get to see the full eclipse? Here we only get to see a partial one. If anybody can answer Pete's question, please do. 0437 922 720. Or do you know, Paul?
I think it's to do with the trajectory of the sun and the moon and how they come together occasionally. So that's the best I can do. Maybe Dr. Carl can help.
we need a scientist. Now, it's also, I should point out, really important to wear the correct eye protection. That's something I always remember my mum saying whenever she got us to look at an eclipse. Don't look directly at the sun. I think lots of people are wearing those sunglasses. Are you pretty excited to be experiencing it yourself, Paul?
I really am. It's 62 seconds, and I think it'll be really eerie, actually, because we've got this intense sun. It's pretty warm up here, and it'll be a bright blue sky. And then the sky will go dark, and apparently shadows do really bizarre things as well during the eclipse. So I think it'll be eerie. So it's quite noisy in town. There's lots of bands, lots of music, lots of sound stages being tested. But I suspect it'll go pretty quiet for a while, actually. I'm really looking forward to seeing the reaction of people as much as the actual experience.
It is 10 to 4 on ABC Radio Perth. I'm speaking to Paul Gamblin, who is the director of Protect Ningaloo, who is up in Exmouth with the thousands of others to see this eclipse. How well do you think the town is equipped to handle this influx of people, Paul?
Well, I know that the Shire of Exmouth and state government agencies have been working for a long time. We've been talking to them about that as well, because we're all concerned about the impacts of that many people on this very fragile environment. I think there are as well prepared as they can be. And I think they're probably looking at it with a sense of excitement and trepidation. And I reckon there'll be a lot of people who'll be quite relieved when it's over. But I think that they prepared well. It certainly feels like it when you're down here on the ground.
Now, while all eyes are going to be on the sky tomorrow, something else is brewing in Exmouth. It's the controversial plan to build a deep water jetty. On Monday, I spoke to Michael Edwards. He's the CEO of the Gascoyne Gateway, who've got a $450 million proposal to build a jetty. Take a listen.
A small increase in ships will have a great result in abating hundreds of thousands of tonnes of greenhouse gases that emit emissions annually through trucks and other transport requirements. You know, the ability to import materials, including the plant equipment for the massive renewable projects. At the moment, that's all they're trying to find ways of bringing in those. And so our contribution to the decarbonisation of the planet, if that's what we're serious about, is a very important place in West Australia and the nation's future. So by putting the right infrastructure in the right place at the right time ensures that we're regenerating the planet, I guess, and certainly the local environment.
So that's Michael Edwards, who's the co-founder and managing director of the Gascoyne Gateway, who've got this very ambitious plan to build a deep water jetty. He's arguing that it's going to be good for the environment. There won't be much dredging involved. It is in an area that won't disrupt the marine life. Paul, what's your response to that?
Well, the backdrop to the eclipse is Exmouth Gulf, which has as much spectacular wildlife as the famed Ningaloo, the more famous Ningaloo. It's all connected with the Ningaloo system. It's all part of the same ecosystem. And in fact, Exmouth Gulf was recommended for inclusion in the Ningaloo World Heritage Area, but some industrial voices meant that didn't happen, unfortunately, about 12 years ago. But it shows the global importance of Exmouth Gulf. It's an area where you find dugongs and whales and corals and seagrass meadows and sawfish and threatened turtles. It's really a very, very important place globally and for Australia. The last thing we should be doing is building an industrial wharf. It would extend nearly a kilometre out into this very fragile ecosystem. It would attract large vessels, the kinds of ships that you see in gauge roads off Fremantle, vessels of up to 250 metres, that's big, would be attracted through one of the world's most important humpback whale nursing areas and resting areas where mothers feed their calves before they take them on that dangerous journey down to Antarctica. And it would involve quite a lot of dredging, more than a million cubic meters, which is the equivalent of more than 34,000 shipping containers. So you're talking about a very big operation in a very fragile place. What we should be doing is protecting this area and making sure that it's looked after for the long term, not putting it at risk.
Paul, when I spoke to Michael on Monday, there were a lot of people saying, we can't stop development. We're freighting in so many things, which also has a negative impact on the environment. And we're very much in support of the Gascoyne Gateway. There's no space for it there, in your view?
It's the wrong place. It's just the wrong place.
Where is the right place?
It's for industrial, but well, Exmouth Gulf doesn't need one. I think if the people behind this development want to deploy their skills, they could do it in an existing industrialised area in the Pilbara, for example, which may need some new marine infrastructure, for example. But Exmouth Gulf is too fragile. Just a couple of years ago, the EPA did an assessment of the Gulf, and it found it was of global importance, fragile and under pressure. And so the last thing we should be doing is building, increasing the pressure with projects that could last up to a century. This project's the ports. Obviously, ports will be attracting large vessels through this very fragile environment for decades to come. It just doesn't make sense. It's not needed. One thing that Gascoyne Gateway has said is that they'd be providing some renewable power. That's actually being done separately by Horizon Power for Exmouth, which is the way it should be done. So you don't need to build a port with all the impacts that it would have to have renewable power in Exmouth. So that argument's fallen away as well. There's a lot of concern in town, a lot of concern among tourism operators and others, because they know that the environment up here is the basis for their industry and for their reputation. And they want to have a world-class place, a place that where the environment is looked after, and the support is moving in the wrong direction.
Paul, good to talk to you, and have a wonderful time tomorrow. Maybe
Thanks.
We can check in after you've gazed at the sky.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.